Gospel according to St. Luke, the ninth chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came over and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. My children, I think we're kind of low on children today. Ben, would you like to come up? Come on up. I think you are. Can we sit together? We got room. Huh? Do we? Yeah. Hey. You're hiding. Are you? Do you like to tell stories? You like to hear stories? Do you? Have you ever been, a campfire at night and had somebody tell stories? Have you ever had them, it's dark and they turn on a light and they tell a story? You ever have that? What's your favorite Bible story? Can you think of one? Can you think of a story about how about David and Goliath? Do you like that story? You don't know that one? Okay. Well, what story do you know?
I like Noah's Ark.
Oh, you like Noah's Ark? I like Noah's Ark too. Do you want to put this down here and shine on you and we can tell the story? You don't want to tell the story. Okay. I can tell the story, can I? Mm-hmm. Well, today we had a story about Jesus and James and Peter and John who went up on a mountain. And all at once, Jesus started to shine like there was a brilliant light on him. Wow. He was so bright, he just shined. And the disciples were scared. They didn't know what was going on, but they saw two other people. One of them was Moses, and one was Elijah. But they weren't shining. Only Jesus was shining, because we remember Jesus is the light of the world. Can you remember that? Okay. Very good. Well, I'll tell you what. Would you like to take a light home with you? Okay, just don't shine it in anybody's eyes. Okay, all right. But you have to tell stories. Okay, can you tell stories? Tell your sister. Oh, well, just tell her what you heard today. Okay? Oh, in fact, you could even tell her a story about one of your dinosaurs.
We have Legos at home to build.
Okay, well, then you could tell about that, couldn't you? All right. Very good. Well, I don't know about you, but when I got up this morning, I looked at the thermometer and it said -7. But before I left the house, it said -8. And by the time I got down the street a ways, it said -9. And then down here on the corner, it said -10. I thought I'd go back home. It's so much warmer back there. Oh, makes you long for those nice summer days, doesn't it?
No.
I remember those days on the farm when we would look forward to the first day that we could get out in the field. And now, us boys usually would wear a t-shirt. And after the first day out there, we would not have a sun tan. It would be a sun burn. Our arms and our neck, and it was very painful. My youngest brother was really brave. He would go out there without a shirt, and he would be red from top to waist, just red and miserable. But that's the way to be a man, as far as he was concerned. Well, in our gospel today, we have the story of Jesus and having light shine upon him, not a suntan or a sunburn, but the light of God. There's a story told about King Henry VII. Henry was on his deathbed, and his best friend was the court jester. The court jester came to see Henry and said, "What's going on?" And Henry said, "I'm going away." "Well, where are you going?" Henry said, "I don't know." "Well, how long are you going to be gone?" "Forever." "Well, who's going with you? Do you have a companion?" "No," Henry said, "I don't. Going by myself." "Do you have money for the trip?" "No." "Well, when are you coming back?" "Never." Well, the court jester thought about that for a minute, and he said, "You know, my friend, I thought all these years that I was the biggest fool in this court. But here you are, going on a journey you don't know where, you don't know how long, you have nothing to take with you, you have no companion on the way. There is nothing, and you'll be gone forever. I would call you the biggest fool in this court." That could possibly be our story, couldn't it? Each and every one of us. Do you know where you're going? Do you know who's going with you? You see, we have a tendency to forget that in Christ, we have a light that doesn't go out. We have one who has promised and guaranteed that he would be our companion on that journey, and that he already has a place prepared just for us. We're not alone. Our biggest problem, not only as individuals, but as a congregation, is how negativism can get into our systems and hold us back and make us think nothing good is happening. Nothing good can happen. And yet, the good news is all good news, telling us that Jesus does have a plan, that Jesus does have a way, that Jesus is the way. Moses knew where he was going. From the time he talked to that burning bush in the wilderness, through all of the plagues in Egypt, he didn't always like it. He didn't always like what happened. And he didn't like what was happening to him on the journey. But he knew where he was going, because he knew he had a companion who was God himself. And that God was leading him not only through all of those plagues, but through the Red Sea, into the wilderness, to freedom. And that God He didn't need the money. God was providing the food, the manna from heaven, and the water along the way. Everything they really needed, God was providing. Moses knew. Moses knew where he was going and was able to lead the people. The Apostle Paul tells us another story. He thought he knew where he was going until he was knocked on his can on the way to Damascus. And there the light that he was trying to avoid blinded him until one of those who followed the light prayed for his healing, and he was made whole again. You see, I think all of us need that healing hand to lay upon each and every one of us individually and as a congregation. Not just once, but every day. There's a story that was told by Plato in 440 BC, the Greek philosopher, who told, and you probably have heard this before, told about a cave. And in this cave, the people were chained to the back wall. And all they could see were the shadows of people passing by. They couldn't see the people. All they could see were the shadows. And Plato said, if one of those people chained to the wall broke free and got out into the light, first they would be blinded by the light, and then they would begin to see, and they would realize that all they had been seeing were shadows. They weren't seeing the real thing. And once they realized there were real people, that they might want to go back into the cave and tell the other people about it. But Plato's story says they would be killed because the people living in the darkness of the cave didn't want to know the light of Christ, the light that was there, or the realness of real people. Paul knew what was real, and he went through it all. After he was blinded, he went through all of the suffering that anyone could ever expect. Shipwrecks, beatings, stonings, imprisonment, you name it. Paul goes through it. And even as he sits in prison awaiting what is certainly going to be an execution, he can write to his friends in Philippi and say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Wow. Now that's a positive approach to what God has called him to. And despite what may happen to him, he knows where he's going. Because he knows his companion on the journey. Peter, James, and John are on the journey with Jesus. Set the stage a little bit. They have just been to Caesarea Philippi. Now, Caesarea Philippi is it's a beautiful location, right at the base of Mount Hermon. And there are niches and temples to every god you could ever imagine. There's a frog god. I don't think they had dinosaur gods back then. They didn't know about dinosaurs. Just their problem, right, Ben? But they had a goat god. They had, you name the god, they had it. It's in this location where Peter points all of this out to the disciples and he says to them, now, seeing all these other gods, who do you say that I am? And Peter declares, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, that happened one day. The next day, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on another mountain. Or maybe the same mountain. We don't know for sure. There's another mountain, Mount Tabor, where they say it's the site. Who knows? But up there, the disciples are really sleepy. Now, if I had climbed up Mount Tabor, or even Mount Hermon is even worse, if I had climbed up there like they had to, I'd have been tired too. It's a long trip. Even by the vehicle we took, it was a long, treacherous little winding road. But up there, now all at once, they see Moses, the greatest lawgiver, and Elijah, the greatest of the prophets, standing with Jesus. And Jesus is radiant. If Moses glowed with the presence of God, that's the glow that I see on Jesus at that moment, reminding us that he is there and that he is the companion who wants to be with us and lead us all the way home. May we discover the joy of the gospel as we live out our lives in this world. Now, do you know where you're going? Do you know who's going with you?
Yes.
You see? We know. We know at the bottom of our heart who is leading us where. Now, is there any circumstance in you that you can even imagine whereas we, as the body of Christ, the church, is there any way that can fail? You see, we have something positive to look forward to. We may have those times when somebody doesn't want to volunteer for this or that or whatever, but that's not going to stop us because it's not us who are doing it. Man worked in the factory all of his life. The Monday after his retirement, he got up, got dressed, sat in his favorite chair, and listened. And when the factory whistle blew, he had this puzzled look on his face. And he looked at his wife and he said, "You know, I think they're going to try running the factory without me." Can you imagine that? Well, let us keep that in mind. That if it was totally up to us, this church would have closed a long time ago. I kid you not. I look at the history. There are ups and there are downs and there are all kinds of things that, if it was up to us, we as well close the doors. But it's not up to us. We have a Savior who is Christ the Lord, who wants to shine on us and not give us a sunburn, but give us a light glow. May we be the light to this community as long as we have any breath in us. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.